Hello, everyone. This is Emily Kalaszewski, Member Programs Lead at the League, and I want to thank you for joining us today as we launch a new League initiative, Serve My City. The Michigan Municipal League has developed this new program to support our members during these unprecedented times. Yesterday, we announced the launch of Serve My City, a support program for our members that is starting with a free technical assistance initiative that helps members draw down federal dollars due to the COVID-19 crisis. I will be facilitating a Q&A session with the participants, so if you have questions during the discussion, please type them either in the comment section if you're joining us on Facebook Live, or in the chat section if you're with us on Zoom. Here to kick off Serve My City and provide us with further details is League Executive Director and CEO Dan Gilmartin, Policy Research Labs Director Shanna Draheim, and Public Sector Consultant Tim Dempsey. So I'll kick it over to Dan.
Thank you, Emily, and good afternoon, everyone. Before we get cranking, I just wanted to wish good luck to the folks up in Midland and in Mid-Michigan who are experiencing some unbelievable flooding and weather issues. I know it's been wet in a whole bunch of different places around the state, but what they've got going on up there is really remarkable, and we wish them the best in moving forward. We're excited today to be launching a new program called Serve My City, which allows for the League to really step up and assist its member communities with identifying funding and hopefully getting funding into their communities with respect how it's related to COVID. As you all know, there have been money that's come out from the federal government to this point in time through the CARES Act and through some other issues. We expect that they'll be debating what the House passed in the Stimulus 4 package last week. We expect the debate to be taken up in the Senate either later this month or in June, so there could be some additional programming dollars coming in. Even going backwards with CARES, obviously not every community was included in that, but now the state has an allotment of dollars, and the state's figuring out what they're going to be doing from a standpoint of getting that money out to communities that need it. So all this leads to a whole bunch of different questions, and I know from a League perspective, for the last several years, the number one thing we've identified as a challenge in our communities has been capacity, the capacity to actually get some of the things done that local units of government are looking at. And obviously capacity is stretched even further at a point in time like we're at right now with furloughing employees and people working at home and just all the hiccups going on right now because of the virus. So we're going to be putting together a program and announcing it here today, and I'm going to let Shanna talk about the details of it, where the League is going to be assisting communities on a wide basis and identifying what's available out there, and then our capacity to actually work closer and individually with communities of a certain number that we can go out there and assist to actually follow through, help with grant funding, help with writing those grants, tracking them, whatever it might be. So we're excited about this with some of the things that we think is going to help get that money out there, because a lot of times, as you know, in the grant writing field, it's like, hey, we got a good idea. Let's write a grant and send it out and see who might be interested. Well, this is different now. We know there's money available out there. We know there's money for community leaders. We know there's money to help with different things going on right now. And it's just a matter of, again, having that capacity to be able to move forward. So we met with public sector consultants. Tim Dempsey is joining us here today. They've been a great partner of the League through the years, and they're going to be helping us on the technical assistance side in working directly with communities, again, to identify some of these opportunities and to help you all move forward in trying to get these funds back to your communities. We're excited, too, that the Michigan Municipal League Foundation is taking this on. And we've seeded the money at the League to fund this program through funds from the organization. We're also asking the foundation to step up and go out and try to solicit some more funds to be able to provide more resources for us to do additional work on here, because there's funding available today and we expect that there'll be some more in the future, potentially quite a bit more. But as usual, there's all kinds of pitfalls issues and red tape and everything else we've got to work through. So that's one of the things we're going to help you with. So excited to announce this here today, and I'm going to kick it over to Shanna, who's going to talk a little bit more about how the program's going to look. And I know she's been working right along with Tim and his team over at PSC, and they can talk specifically about the details and how that's going to look rolling out to our member community. So Shanna, take it away.
Thank you, Dan. And I also will just express my thoughts, and we're all thinking, I know a lot about Midland and what's going on up there. So I just wanted to add to that. I'll talk a little bit about this from the MML side, kind of what this is going to look like, and then I'm going to kick it to Tim and just let him talk about sort of what would happen then for communities who do need or want assistance once we connect them with PSC. But as Dan said, you know, we've seeded this fund in the foundation with a bit of money, not enough to do all that we will want to do, of course, and hoping to raise more. But our thought is to try to provide an opportunity for some of you to get some help from PSC in accessing these federal, mostly federal, but potentially down the road state dollars out of the CARES Act. And that could take a lot of different forms, from kind of coaching and just kind of helping you walk through what's required, et cetera. Tim will talk a little bit more about that. But from our side, you know, we're just excited and feeling like this might be a great opportunity to help you all make sure you're accessing dollars that are sitting on the table. In the very short term, we're going to focus that effort on the two existing most relevant pots of money, and that's the FEMA reimbursements for emergency and the DOJ criminal justice coronavirus emergency funds. So that'll be the focus for the next at least few weeks. I think the DOJ deadline is May 29th. It's like next week sometime. So it's really quick. So basically, I'm going to share my screen here, and I'm hoping you all can see it when I do. But I just thought, that's not what I wanted to share. But we are going to have a pretty easy process on this end of how to get going on this. First off, I just wanted to say that while PSC is going to be providing some assistance, we just want to make sure that anybody who is reaching out to us and to them, you know, understands that there will be some tasks on your side. Obviously, you'll need to be able to be available for some calls with PSC to kind of scope out what the issues are or the grants you're going after. There will be required documentation from any community, as you well know. I'm sure most of you have gone after grants before, and whether that's receipts for FEMA, you know, audit reports, those kinds of things. So being able to make sure you have a bit of time to do that at least, and, you know, making sure you have some time to review materials or anything created by PSC, if that is what ends up happening in your kind of work with them. And finally, we want to make sure that we're kind of tracking your progress. Like, are you successful in getting those reimbursements? Were there any issues? Because the more we can learn from what your experiences are, the more we can help all of our member communities. So if there are hiccups and hitches in FEMA applications, for example, we want to know that. We want to be able to share the solutions for getting at that with as many of our members as possible. So before I kick it to Tim, and as Emily said, we're going to send this information around, but if you are interested in getting some assistance, we are going to ask that you email me, and my email's here, and it will be in a follow-on email as well. If you can just email me, provide a couple sentences. If you are focused in already on what funding source you're looking at, you may not, like I said, at this point, we're going to be focusing just on these two, and for the criminal justice ones, it's only a few cities that are eligible and probably already know that. And then we will go ahead and connect you with PSC, and we'll let you guys then take that interaction from there. But so you just need to email me to get started, and we'll go from there. That way we can kind of make sure we're managing the flow, and we'll just kind of keep passing people along and kind of moving as we can until that fund runs out. So it's a bit of first come, first serve, but we'll keep fundraising as we go and try to get more and more legs underneath us. So I'm going to pass it to Tim, and then I think we can take some questions after.
Okay, thank you, Shanna and Dan. Appreciate it. And I also want to echo thoughts and sentiments to everybody up in the Midland area and even beyond. I know that the downriver communities like Saginaw are thinking about the impacts potentially of what that's going to mean in the coming days. So having lived up in that part of the state in the past and familiar with those areas, thoughts go out to all of you dealing with those issues. Just highlights the importance of, you know, funding infrastructure and funding local government at the appropriate levels, because it's really the locals who are going to be dealing with those impacts for quite a while. So the best to all of you. In terms of public sector consultants and our role in all of this, we're really the technical assistance support. So we're going to have the staff who are going to work directly with all of you that need assistance. And I think the important thing to keep in mind up front is that this is really going to be a tailored effort. We want to structure it around your needs. Some of you have more capacity than others. Some of you may not even need our assistance, right? There's communities that have plenty of skilled staff that can manage this process, but there's others of you who don't have the capacity or simply are too focused on dealing with the immediate crisis of COVID-19, so you need that additional help. So we're going to plug ourselves in any way we can and scale that support the best way we can for each community. So for some of you, it might be working more intensely than others. For others, it might be just answering some simple questions. So keep that in mind. We want to tailor this to your needs. So we'll work with you on that and make sure that our lines of communication are clear so that we understand what you need and can be responsive. As Shanna mentioned earlier, I think the priority right now with the CARES Act are a couple of funding sources. One that's of high priority in terms of timing is the Department of Justice, CESSF funding, the Coronavirus Emergency Supplemental Funding. That deadline is at the end of next week. There's only certain communities that are eligible for that. All of you that are, hopefully know who you are. If not, we can kind of direct you to that resource in the short term. But that's going to take moving fairly quickly just to make sure that you get registered into that system and get an application submitted by midnight a week from Friday. So that's coming up quickly. If there's any of you that need that help, we need to start having those conversations sooner than later. So please get in touch with Shanna. And then the other one that has more applicability and that's broader in terms of being able to leverage it for all of you, and that's the FEMA public assistance funding that is passed through to the state. So the Michigan State Police are involved in that highly. They've had a series of webinars on it. So hopefully those of you who have had the opportunity to listen to those have done that. That is actually kind of a prerequisite for some of that funding. However, we're already working with a community in the state and we participated in that as a consulting firm. So hopefully we can utilize that if you didn't participate as your eligibility, but that's something we'll look at. So the FEMA dollars, there is not yet a kind of a deadline established. So what they're doing is encouraging people to submit things as they put that information together. It's obviously a lot of financial records and just keeping track of expenses related to what's happening. So on that one, we have a little bit more timeline there. But the things to keep in mind right now, again, for all of you, is just be tracking everything. So any type of personal protective equipment that you're purchasing, any type of hazard pay that you're providing to your employees, anything that's extraordinary that is directly responding to this crisis, please be tracking. Even if you're not sure, if you think, well, I don't know if this would be eligible, you know, just track it for now and make sure that you're kind of keeping a list of, hey, here are all the things that could be eligible, because we'd rather start with a bigger list and have it whittled down or even have it some of it rejected as a reimbursement versus leaving something on the table that you didn't submit. That's another kind of early tip here, is just track it all and keep track of it as well as you can. So our goal, again, is to work with all of you on a, you know, collective and or one-on-one basis as being necessary, and try to utilize what dollars that the MML has been able to put together here to make that effective use of our time in assisting you. And hopefully we can bring back those dollars, you know, into the state, into all of your local communities, to cover some of these extraordinary expenses that you're all facing. And then going beyond that, you know, certainly there are a number of other funding sources that you're familiar with, community development block grant being a big one. I think most of the entitlement communities that are receiving that directly kind of know how to manage that process. But if there is something beyond those two immediate programs that you're curious about or have questions or need help, let Shanna know so we can start to catalog that and understand it, because there is the potential to be able to support in other areas as well, if not immediately, maybe in the longer term. So let us know about other things that you see or that you have questions about. We'll see if we can do that. So I think that's kind of our quick overview from PSE's perspective.
Yeah, excellent. And I'll just
thank you
reiterate,
all.
Oh, sorry, Emily, ahead. Before you get going, I just want to reiterate Tim's point that I think we are, you know, we're hopeful, I'm going to keep using that word, that there will be another round of federal funding coming for cities, God willing, and, you know, MML and National League of Cities and other fighters and champions willing. And so we'll kind of keep looking at those pots as they come online too, as potential down the road.
Excellent. So I do have one question that's come in through the chat here on Zoom. I'm wondering if the population of a city affects any of the grants.
So I can speak to the FEMA and the DOJ one. So on the FEMA one, no, it doesn't matter the population. If you have eligible cost, you do have to have a minimum though of $3,300 of cost. So as long as you have that minimum or above, you can submit. All the jurisdictions in the state, cities, villages, townships, counties are eligible under the disaster declaration. For the DOJ, that is formula driven and the number is already set. So the dollar amounts that are available are tied to part of their formula is, you know, population driven, but the FEMA is not.
And I would add too that looking forward with the stimulus 4 bill that just recently passed the House, one of the things that we and our colleagues around the country were pushing was to make sure that all communities were included in that. So I didn't see who the question was from. I'm assuming it's from a smaller community and somebody wants to make sure they're eligible for funding. And under stimulus 4 as passed, every single community in the state, every single community across the country is eligible for funding. That may or may not change in the Senate. The number may or may not change in the Senate. What bill may not even be voted on. So if you are concerned about getting direct funding to smaller communities, I would absolutely call your member of Congress right now and our two U.S. senators and push that that's a really important thing for us to be able to do. And you can find that on our coronavirus page at the MML.org site, all the information there to contact folks, because that's a really important thing.
Great. So another question that's come in, if a small community doesn't have much capacity to apply for grants and doesn't really know what's available, can they call us and say, hey, can you help us figure out what's available to us?
Yeah. That's what we're doing here, right? I mean, that's sort of our what we feel like is our intended audience for this, because as Tim pointed out, a lot of the larger communities that are get direct aid through CDBG and are eligible for other programs have staff available to do this. A lot of the smaller ones don't. Even in some of the larger situations, folks might not be completely aware of what's out there. So absolutely, you're who we're trying to help out there directly on this one. If you're from a smaller community and not really sure what's available out there, that's what we're doing. That's why we're doing this. And again, I think the direction is to contact Shannon directly on that one. And we'll go from there.
Great. And one more specific question. Any experience with the FEMA PPE grant for first responders that's currently open?
So we haven't worked with that one specifically yet, because I think that's directed to fire departments and limited to first responders, whereas the other FEMA grant is broader. Can apply to many other departments like Public Works and even City Hall departments. But that's certainly one that if you need some assistance on, we can look at that as well. Take a look and see what we could do there.
Another question, we provide police services via an authority under the Urban Co-op Act. Do we apply as a sponsoring member city or does the authority?
I don't know that I can answer that one off the top of my head, but I do know that they are asking in cases where you have kind of a multiple department or multiple entity situation that it be singular. They do not want kind of overlapping or competing applications. But in terms of which one would be preferable, it's likely both are, but we could verify that. We'll keep that one as an open question to get back.
Again, and get to Shanna with any questions you have on that one. We'll make sure you get answered directly on it.
Great. And it looks like we've got a few more questions coming through. It seems like the focus of this program is on federal grant programs only. Will other grants, like state, local, or private grants, also be explored?
I'll grab that, and Tim, you can fill in. I think we're fairly focused on sort of COVID relief and that kind of funding versus sort of just, you know, broad swath of, you know, local or foundation funds. But I think we are anticipating that it does include state funds. So for example, CDBG funds that went to entitlement communities is already underway, but there is a slog of that money that we are anticipating will go to MEDC, and they will probably have some kind of a grant program for those dollars to go out as well. So I think that kind of thing would be eligible. So we're in the short term with this pot of money, we're kind of focused on, you know, funds to help in the sort of immediate COVID and post-COVID stuff versus, you know, kind of broad grants for other projects you might have already had underway.
Great.
We do kind of expect, though, that it'll be state funding. Those federal dollars coming through the state will have additional requirements that we should be able to help folks with.
All right. A few other specific questions coming in. Have you heard anything about potential funding release specifically for water utilities?
Specifically, I know that there were some kind of Eagle funds for water reconnections that were for specific communities, but I think those have all been addressed and spoken for. Not aware of any additional, but that's something probably to keep an eye on with the potential fourth round stimulus dollars. So that might be something. And I would encourage people, you know, if you look back to the Recovery Act back in 2008, a lot of dollars ultimately went to infrastructure. So that's something that hopefully we're optimistic we'll see more.
There are some rural development funds too through USDA that are aimed at water authorities. So you'll want to look there as well. There are some grants and there are some, I think, no interest loans and some different things there as well. So that's something we continually hear from rural development on, that a lot of that funding is going unused. So we could certainly get that information out to people.
Great. How should we track the difference between what FEMA considers operational expense and less than $3,300 in expenses?
So on the operational side, what they're talking about is, so if it's something kind of typical work that people are already doing, services people are already providing or already being funded, right? You can't supplement. They have the kind of prohibition against supplements. So it's, you know, it's COVID related response. So what it really means are there things like, are you requiring overtime specifically to respond to the emergency? Is there hazard pay? Although hazard pay, you would have had to have an existing policy as of January 20th under the FEMA dollars. DOJ, for those eligible, that's a nice thing, is that there's more flexibility there, and those dollars kind of are also going forward, not just kind of looking back. So that's something, again, that, think of that in terms of the supplemental requirement. We can provide kind of the specific details on that as well.
Great. A few more specific questions, and I think that's all we'll have time for today, but I know that our members will be able to reach out to Shanna for additional information about their specific cases. One question about the FEMA public assistance grant. Is there a scheduled deadline as of yet for the grant paperwork?
Not for the FEMA one, but everyone is being encouraged to get into the system, get registered, because there's kind of a multi-step process that goes there. So if people are thinking about it, we definitely want to take those steps now to make sure you're in the system. And also we want to line up and identify potential applicants that have or have not participated in the Michigan State Police online briefings, because if there are people that are not, we just want to make sure that we're going to be able to get clearance through the MSP on their behalf, since we participated in those webinars. So The sooner the better on that up front, but yet no clear deadline yet. And typically, as far as funding, what FEMA does is the emergency declaration as of January 20th, their timeline is 6 months or the sooner of when the disaster ends. So they have the ability to extend that. So it's not just things you spent to date. It can also be things going forward, but the ultimate end timeline will depend on how far that they might extend this into the future. And also, of course, on the total funding available, that's something we're still trying to get a handle on, and we're hearing different things from different sources, because FEMA has this pot of public assistance money, and of course, there's high demand for it. So just encouraging people to do this, the sooner the better.
Emily, I wanted to note, because I know you're kind of wrapping up the questions here, and there's a few more. One, we'll go through these comments and send out some answers to these questions that are being posted here. But I don't know if either Tim or I mentioned it, but we are, as part of this work, we're going to host at least one or two more sessions like this that are just going to be, we're kind of calling them open office hours. So if you don't know that you need sort of, you know, one-on-one assistance in preparing things, but you have, you know, a handful of questions, or you've got one or two questions and you want to kind of hear what some of your other communities are wrestling with, we'll probably do something like this, do it for a little longer, maybe for like an hour long period, maybe once or twice, so that people can kind of jump on, ask their questions, or if you're in the middle of doing some of your grant applications or your reimbursement applications and you've got a question. We haven't set the dates of those yet. We will send some of that out in follow-up information, but that's just another way to help if you're, you know, if you don't want to do this sort of, you know, one-on-one. If you're afraid to call Tim, you know, directly on the phone, then this might be right. I'm just kidding. But there's a couple different ways we can get your questions answered.
Perfect. Thank you, Shanna. We do need to wrap it up, but we will, like Shanna said, be taking a look at these comments and doing some reach out specifically to those who have posted them. And we'll make sure that we follow up today in email format with some additional information. Again, thank you, Dan, Shanna, and Tim, for sharing this important update and program with our members. We'll be continuing to reach out to all of you about the Serve My City program, like I said, including a follow-up email with additional information and instructions on how to get started. Stay tuned for more information and other important updates as we continue to provide you with timely information, resources, and programming in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you all for joining us today.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.